Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
Well, here we are, and good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense. It's Monday, August 29th. Luke Mathers is here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Coming up this morning, State Senator Jeff Smith on getting national attention for a magazine piece about him working to create conversations throughout a district where he has no room for error thanks to gerrymandering. And our friend Kelly Westland, who's running for a state Senate seat in Northwest Wisconsin, will join us as well. I am starting off the day happy the rain is gone. It was a very rainy weekend here on Lake Wasota. It's still rainy in southern and eastern parts of the state, but it's then going to be gorgeous after that. It's going to be dry and sunny throughout the week with seasonable temperatures. And yet I'm a man here holding a grudge on this nice Sunday morning, because Grandpa has lived in this house now for 27 years on Lake Wasota. And in 27 years, the garbage man consistently comes on Monday mornings between 8 and 10 a.m. on very, very rare occasions, 7:30. And if you don't get your trash can out by 8, you know, you're SOL, as they say. And that's it. So you can imagine my shock at hearing some rumbling and grumbling up the street and noticing that it is 6:04. 6:04 in the morning. And by the time I get out there and open the garage door, guy's already well down the street. And why is he well down the street? Because most people haven't put their cans out yet. So, and by the way, this is a company that also for 5 weeks in a row missed Monday pickup, sent us text messages saying, oh, we're very sorry, we'll be there Tuesday morning. So if anything, we're expecting late. I'm wondering, Luke, if there is a case that somebody, it doesn't happen very often, has somebody hijacked a trash truck and just wanted to, you know, live the dream. They realized the regular crew wasn't there yet and said, let's give this a go. It's like the complete opposite of like Undercover Boss or something like that. You know, it's just.
I feel like actually going through the route, though, for the correct day wouldn't be what the person would that like. Hijack the truck would be doing, would they?
Right. No, unless you really think, here it is. You remember Ocean's 11, mm-hmm. Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. Yeah, this is Ocean's dumb. There is somebody has some kind of valuables somewhere along the route. They're going through all of this nice and early just to pull off a heist somewhere else here on Lake Wasota where, you know, all of the diamonds are hidden in the trash can or something like that.
I feel like, I mean, that would be the worst place to hide them.
Look, though. I watched Ocean's 12 and 13. This is not the dumbest movie plot that's ever come up, you know? So
did you watch Ocean's 8? That was actually a pretty good one. I like
Ocean's 8 was actually quite good. Yeah, well, I shouldn't say actually, good. I wasn't surprised. It was very good. I did enjoy that. And I did like the original Ocean's 11. I liked it. I can't really say that I liked it better or worse than the original from back in the late 60s. Cause again, it's almost an apples oranges comparison, but I do like a good, you know, movie about a heist or, you know, something with drama, something with a little bit of tension. And if something about that explains why my trash truck was stolen so early and somebody wanted to pick up my garbage at 6:04, well,
they missed your garbage at 6:04, though. They didn't pick up your garbage.
Well, the thing is, now we're coming up on Labor Day weekend, and so it's going to be an extra day. It's going to, you know, be next Tuesday. So now we're talking, you know, 2 weeks worth of trash. So that's going to be ripe.
One thing that Kelsey and I have realized over the first several months of home ownership is that we don't consume, like, we don't create as much trash as our neighbors. We will have a bag here or there, or like our recyclable bin gets filled up because that's every 2 weeks here in my neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And I always just feel weird because, like, without fail, every other house on the block, garbage can out. And I
they either have children or they have friends, you know, that you don't. And they have the parties that you don't have. I know certainly when our neighborhood, you know, has a get together, you know, the clinking of all the bottles, you know, coming out to the garbage is enough to wake folks on the other side of the lake. And when we, once we became empty nesters, we actually downsized from the larger garbage can to the smaller one. You get to pay a little bit less. But what it means is when your kids do come to visit, or when you actually do have friends over and it overflows, again, you feel like you're a future 12-stepper based on everything that's in there. The Brewers were able to take 2 of 3 from the Cubs. That, of course, is a failure in my book, because I'm on record saying they had to sweep. So it's not what they were supposed to do, but they did take 2 of 3. They won 9-7 again, took the lead big. Who's the new player? Garrett Mitchell.
Garrett Mitchell had the
2-run hit in his first major league at bat. And that could be a nice, I did take a screenshot in the dugout afterwards, after he scored, of him and Christian Yelich. And I'm not trying to push Yelly off the screen just yet, but it kind of had that, not passing of the torch moment, but like you could kind of see that if that's what happens, that was kind of a defining moment. So, you know, good for him, good for the team. But again, you still gave up 7 runs to the Cubs. You almost let them come back. That's concerning. So now 3 at home against Pittsburgh, and then it's off to Arizona and Colorado. Hey, if you want to get our daily newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter in the top banner. Coming up next, State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area. We'll be back. You're up north.
Bull Falls Radio, from Merrill to Mosinee, we're your home for news talk and sports on 98.9 FM and WXCO 1230 AM.
Well, if that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will, because it's not going to be the dulcet tones of Pat Kreitlow and Jeff Smith in a couple of moments, I'll tell you that. It's Monday morning. This is Up North News. Going to be really nice after today. Thunderstorms in the far southern and eastern parts of the state at first, maybe some scattered showers after that, but then dry weather moves in for pretty much the entire week. Nice temps in the mid-70s to mid-80s. Before we get to Senator Smith, I want to share this little 1-2 punch, as seen in a post from our friend Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. First, he shares a headline from Wisconsin Public Radio. It says, Wisconsin school districts are asking voters this fall to approve a record $1.9 billion in extra spending authority through 70 referendum questions that will be on the ballots November 8th. Let me say that again. 70 school referenda around the state seeking almost $2 billion in extra property tax authority. So Dan adds what I'm sure you know I would be saying as well, when he notes the state is sitting on $5 billion in surplus. And when he says the state, he does not mean Governor Evers. As we heard last week, he's got a plan. Republicans in the legislature are sitting on $5 billion of your money, hoping to do bad things with it next year instead of making good investments this year. These are the same people who had no hesitation to commit $4 billion of your money to Foxconn, which thankfully didn't all get used and wasted, thanks to Governor Evers renegotiating a sloppy, flawed contract from Scott Walker. So these same people who were all set to spend $4 billion on a boondoggle are now sitting on $5 billion of your money, hoping to give that away to people whose bank accounts are definitely a lot fatter than yours and mine. So with that editorializing out of the way, we welcome my old friend Jeff Smith. How are you, man?
Hey, Pat. It's great to be here today. Monday morning. Great way to start the Monday.
It is. It's going to be a really nice week. And we've got Labor Day weekend coming into it. One of the things I learned to appreciate district to district in the legislature is I had a very, apparently an unusual district. It was just the right size that in the summer, there's some kind of parade or community festival literally every weekend. There was never a weekend off. Instead, some weekends actually had 2. And yet, if memory serves me, in my district, Labor Day weekend was one of the few where there wasn't much, but there were big things. You know, there were obviously little things everywhere, but no big community-wide festival. What's your situation? Do you have Is Labor Day weekend like always booked up for you? I know Eau Claire always has some kind of a labor celebration, but what's the weekend look like?
Well, that's, you know, you hit it on the head there. There's not parades. We're kind of at the end of the parade season. We do have a couple parades in September, but yeah, there were parades like two on the same day sometimes. And I have to admit, I'm not a parade fan.
get in line, pal.
There were some parades were smart enough to say, if a politician wants to be in the parade, they got to give us $100. And I'd say, okay, I don't need to be in that parade. And I wish most of them would do that, because if if the opposition wasn't there, I would be happy to not be there. But anyway, that said, my Labor Day really is based around Labor Day weekend is really based on Labor Day. Usually I go away for Labor Day weekend, but not on an election year, not on a campaign year. But there's in my district, I don't think there are parades or anything else until Monday.
Yeah. You know, the thing with parades, well, I mean, you and I know we can talk all day about the pros and cons of parades and how you might change things with or without politicians. I've argued somebody, and I think maybe one town has done this, well, you would do well to have the reverse parade where you tell all the various units, you park right here on Main Street or Bridge Street or wherever, and you just park right there, and it'll be more like a street fair. People can come up and down, and if they want to see you, they'll see you, and if they don't want to see you, they'll just walk on by. It's one way to get rid of some of the jeering and some of the other, you know, mess that comes along with it. So there's my free idea for any town that wants to.
I actually did that a couple times this year.
Yeah.
But I you know, I have the opportunity because I have the truck with the sign, and you know, just set that up. And I'm good to go.
Well, let's talk about that, the truck and the sign. For folks who don't know, Jeff, sometime back, created an interesting little franchise. Previously, what you might call office hours or constituent meetings were done. Either you would, say, get some space in a community hall, or maybe in a coffee shop or diner. You'd maybe put a little ad in the local paper saying, you know, come meet your legislator on, you know, Wednesday from 8 to noon, you know, at such or such a place. And, you know, fewer and fewer people would come to it. People that did were oftentimes people that wanted to give you a hard time. Jeff has put a unique spin on that. Instead, much like you hear about, you know, pop-up stores, these are pop-up meetings with your state senator. Tell folks what you do and how that all got started.
Yeah, you know, the normal version, like you just described, I felt like I was hiding inside of a restaurant or a town hall or someplace when people were zipping by outside. So it just finally, I decided I need to be out there. And I fashioned this sign. It's 6 feet wide and 4 feet high or tall. And then I put it on the roof of my truck. Fold it down when I'm driving down the road, and I fold it up or put it back up with a couple flags to get attention on particular places where I know people could pull over safely on service roads and but busy highways. And I call it mobile office hours, but of course it's referred to as the stop and talk because that's what the sign says, stop and talk to Senator Jeff Smith. So generally, Pat, before this past year, the vast majority of people who stopped were people who had opposing views. And that was really good for them and me. I learned a lot, you know, and they would learn too, that we're not so far apart. We actually want the same things. It's just the way politics is supposed to work, that we want to get to the same goals. We just have to figure out how to get there. But over the past year, as most everyone has felt, I think, that has changed. And people are more likely, if they're opposing views, to stop and be more robust about their opinions. While and it's disappointing, really disappointing. There are still people who will stop and tell me things such as, I've always voted the other way, but I'm really questioning my party now. So that's encouraging as well. So it's at the doors. I just had a couple of people yesterday when I was knocking on doors say that, you know, I'm a Republican and I'm going to vote Republican, but I sure like that idea of you being out there like that. So they know it. They've seen me around, and it does have an effect that we're all not the same, as they like to lump us into a category of politician, you know.
We're talking to Senator Jeff Smith, who was written up in Washington Monthly magazine earlier this year, in part for this whole notion of having this stop and talk mobile office hours that you know show up where somebody can see a sign, see their state senator parked right there, you know, on the road, in a parking lot, wherever, and you know, bring up any questions or bring up any concerns, anything like that. And it gets to a couple of points that we've talked about with some of our other guests recently. The need for and the benefit of these conversations with people, these organic conversations where people will not always agree with one another, but they're talking to one another in a civil fashion. That's one thing that we've talked about. And the other has been the very real split in the Republican Party between those who are continuing like lemmings to march off the cliff with Donald Trump and those who are starting to have second thoughts. So all of this was captured in the Washington Monthly magazine because of the note that you are in a very purple district and understand that you don't win elections, you don't win re-election, and you don't build trust just with political ads and political mail. You actually have to be a real person right out there on the streets.
Yeah, exactly right. My district statistically is favors Republicans slightly. For me to win, I have to be human. I have to humanize myself so that those who may have questions about my party affiliation can stop and realize that, hey, you know, I can vote for this person. He's reasonable. I've been using that word more and more often, that instead of labels like liberal or progressive or moderate or conservative, how about reasonable? Let's just try to be reasonable with each other.
Well, that is a tall order, shall we say, in politics today, where it seems more things are essentially black or white all the time and not shades of gray. So when you say that some people are being more robust when they stop and talk with you, it sounds to me more like they want to talk at you. And in what area do they most want to do that?
It's, you know, of course, it's Biden is ruining this country and Trump should still be our president. And what do you think about the elections? And as soon as I say they were fair, they get rather difficult, that they think that it wasn't fair. It's the usual thing that you all understand, but you know, it's all the way up and down from their elected officials on down. They've enabled this whole thing to get out of control like it is. And I think they've got the tiger by the tail. But, you know, when Pat, you and I had the opportunity to serve in the majority in 2009 and 10, when we were chairs of committees, that as it turns out statistically, the Democrats held hearings on 80% of the bills Republicans introduced, along with our own bills. This group, the statistic is less than 5%. 5% of bills introduced by Democrats get a public hearing by Republicans. That has a huge impact on people not hearing other ideas or possible solutions to the troubles that they face.
It's the bubble. They've been in a media bubble that tells them that the election was rigged and that, you know, Hunter Biden is the Antichrist and, you know, everything that goes with it. And so consequently, they also don't feel a need to not only consider other points of view on their radio talk shows and on their cable TV channels, but even in legislation, in listening to other ideas in committee. What's that been like in committee when, again, your bills aren't taken up, but you certainly, I'm guessing, try to ask some questions or make some points? What's that been like?
Well, this is really shocking to a lot of people, and I explain it to them. So you know how a bill goes through. If you have a public hearing, that's when the public speaks and we all listen. We don't have debate. The next step is to have an executive hearing, which is where we can introduce amendments and have debate over the bill. They've skipped that now in the state Senate. It started in 2019, even before the pandemic, where they passed out paper ballots. So we don't even have a chance to debate or introduce amendments, and there is no back and forth about any ideas at all. It's democracy's not being served.
No, it's pretty much on autopilot that the majority party is not here to discuss or debate or consider or modify. As the truck traffic picks up here, my apologies if you hear the noise. And so when we come back, we're going to pick up our conversation with Senator Jeff Smith, pick up on that notion of the budget surplus that I was talking about earlier, right after this. You're Up North.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Perfect.
Tomorrow in our 10 o'clock hour, Carolyn Fidler, political editorial director for Courier Newsroom. But joining me now is Led Zeppelin fan Jeff Smith. Jeff and I have been friends for 20 years now or so, and I had no idea till this morning you were a Led Zeppelin fan. Just it has never come up. Probably
there are
because
some secrets you just keep hidden.
Well, and every time you're in the car with me, I'm usually playing, you know, the Carpenters or Barry Manilow or something, and you don't say anything.
Brad, so yeah, mm-hmm.
You're a good friend that way. This is a poor substitute for the visits that we should be having, which are normally done either over a burger at the Amber Inn or a hot beef at Ray's on Water Street in Eau Claire, and we will have to do that again. But I do believe election season isn't that amenable to lunch dates, so can we set something up in November?
Yeah, let's do that right away in November. I'm going to need it.
Trust me, I know. We are talking to Senator Jeff Smith. We talked a bit about his stop and talk and the conversations being held in the district. But now I want to turn to a couple of issues that are happening in Madison, in the legislature, or should be happening. But of course, nothing's happening because the Republican leadership put themselves on a 10-month paid vacation. So I led the last segment talking about the nearly $5 billion state surplus and how Governor Evers has a plan for it and Republicans don't. In fact, Senate President Dale Capenga was asked by, I think, WTMJ late last week about whether they would consider calling themselves back into session to consider the Evers surplus plan or some other plan of their own for putting that surplus to work right now. And Luke, if you have that, let's hear what Senate President Dale Capenga had to say. Okay, we're going to assume we don't know what Dale. What he said was, well, we're not coming back because we don't come back. We're a part-time legislature, and we don't want to meet too close to an election, which is wrong. It's wrong on both counts. You got it now, Luke? Let's hear it.
Are Republicans just saying no to this because we're 2 months away from the election?
Well, Republicans are saying no to it because, again, we don't come into session. We end session. We're a part-time legislature. We end session to try to make sure that we don't do political moves right near the election through the legislature. And it's a historical precedent.
So he's wrong on two counts here, Jeff. One is that we're a part-time legislature. You're not. Wisconsin is one of only 10 states with a full-time legislature. They can meet throughout the year. There's no constitutional limits, and they get paid, pardon me for sharing your salary, $50,000 a year. And then the second part is, well, we don't meet close to an election. You took yourself out of session around March 1st. He said that's historical precedent. No, it's not historical precedent. They meet throughout. So when you hear one of the leading Senate Republicans giving two falsehoods in one answer about dealing with that state surplus, Jeff, what does it tell you about what you think their designs really are?
Well, just think about this. Over the last couple of years, we took two big vacations of 10 months. In 2020, chose to go home, do nothing while people were suffering through a pandemic when we had opportunity and Governor Evers kept proposing things that he needed the legislature to help him accomplish. They didn't want to help Governor Evers, so they let people suffer. Now we're doing it again. And you're exactly right, Pat. I do talk about this. I'm not afraid to. because I've been there. I've been a challenger in against incumbency, and I know how hard it is for people to actually compete with the fact that we are paid to run for office. Whereas, let's think, the comparison is this: as much as you might have disdain for U.S. Congress, they stay in session all the way till September of an election year, and come back and forth from Washington to home all year long until September of an election year. And we are just talking about within our own state, not able to come back and do the right thing. And when you mentioned earlier that $5 billion surplus, we could do the right thing. Maybe we wouldn't have to have all these referendums on the ballot this fall. We could take care of that right now.
So true. When you think of the property tax relief that that single move would make. And if you're thinking, well, Republicans just want there to be less government, and so they want to do less. Again, in normal times, that might be an acceptable answer. But Jeff, as you just said, in 2020, they took a 9-month paid vacation when there were very real issues that needed to be taken care of related to the pandemic. I have said many a time, so now I have to make sure I'm not just, you know, speaking out of school here, but my assumption, my assertion has been that Republicans are hoping that if Tim Michaels defeats Governor Tony Evers, that one of the very first steps they'll take, either in the state budget or beyond the state budget debate, is to put most or all of that $5 billion in tax cuts that will benefit mostly the wealthiest and corporations. Is that a poor assumption on my part?
I think we can assume that considering their history, correct? And again, I just want to point out, are you kidding me? We should be nimble. Life changes all the time, as we found out in 2020. And if we're really serving the needs of the public, we should be working when they need us to.
And instead, the only work that we really saw in 2020 was them going to court to continually challenge things that Governor Evers and the Department of Health Services were doing.
So, but, you know, I'm sorry, I got to add one thing here, Pat, because you can just sort of bookend this. From the day that Governor Evers was elected in December, before he took office, they did come together, special session. How about that? They came together, and what were they? Did they come there for? To change the rules to handcuff the governor and the attorney general from doing their job. And now on this end of the 4-year term, they're doing it again by not coming in and doing what they need to do with the surplus that has been created by good leadership in this state. And, you know, so I think you can bookend that and tie it together in a bow here, that this is the way they operate.
It is the way that I put it over the weekend to somebody, is that gerrymandering is one hell of a drug, because there will be things that in earlier times, maybe somebody, some politician, in this case, a Republican, might hesitate to say or try to couch the language. And instead, they just come right out and say things now, Jeff, because with the exception of just a tiny handful of districts, they're all safe.
Yeah, it's true. Isn't it interesting how I was thinking this when I see Michael's ads these days about he's going to come in and fix things. Well, your party has actually been in charge for 12 years in the legislature. Does that mean you're going to break gerrymandering? Is that mean? I mean, I want to know what does that actually mean, since it is the responsibility of the legislature to pass things and send things to the governor, which the governor's only job is to sign things.
It's a very fair question to ask. But when you, have the security that comes with rigging the maps, again, you can say things that you can't imagine otherwise. And another great example from a Republican legislator came up this past weekend from State Representative Adam Nealon of Pewaukee. And this is about the issue of student loan debt forgiveness. And this too should be something that is not necessarily a partisan issue. And even if there is partisan disagreement on, you know, how or whether to forgive student loan debt, the one thing you would expect a Republican to say is, well, we certainly aren't going to tax that forgiven amount of debt as income. And yet Wisconsin is one of only 13 states in the country that still would do that. And so Representative Nealon was asked by TMJ, and by the way, the first time around, that was WISN, forgive me for the wrong credit there, but Adam Nealon was asked about whether Wisconsin Republicans would either come into session or next year, make sure that they join the vast majority of other states in waiving state income taxes, give that tax break to borrowers whose student loan debt has just been forgiven. And here's what he had to say.
I'm a Republican, but this might be the first tax break that I would oppose.
Representative Nealon.
That was the reporter track there. But yeah, he said, I'm a Republican, and this might be the first tax break I oppose. Not for a massive corporation or anything else, but for people who had student loan debt, Jeff. I mean, talk about saying the quiet parts out loud.
They are not complaining about the PPP forgivable loans that the people they really serve got raked in. My opponent took in $135,000 in PPP loans. I'm just waiting to see what he has to say about the student loans out there. But it's hypocrisy. This is the hypocrisy party. We're used to that, Pat.
So let's turn to, instead of what Republicans are saying, doing, and not doing, let's get back to your race and that of other Democrats around Wisconsin. And as you have these conversations, either the pop-up ones or in the other, you know, parades, forums, things that you do, first off, what are you saying are your priorities? And then we'll get into what people say they want as well, and we'll see if they jive. But what is it that you're, when they say, what is it that you want to do? What is it you would do if you, you know, had control again? What do you tell them?
Well, what we would do right off the bat is protect women's reproductive rights. I think that has obviously now raised its ugly head. And I hear it at the doors from men and women that what are you going to do about this? What can the state do to protect women? And we need to repeal that law. We you know, we need to do whatever we can to bring women back into the 21st century and an equal footing with the rest of us. That is really important. The other is we need to, of course, fix that gerrymandering. If we were in charge, we need to do that. It's bad for democracy. There just isn't. People's votes are stolen right now because of that. And so protect people's ability to vote. We can, and then of course, remove all this silly and unnecessary funding of private education over public education. And that is the way it is. It's private first and then public right now with the people who are in charge in the legislature. And because we can only afford to support one public school system, and we need to get back to making sure we do that properly. And then finally, for the economy, there's a number of things, but one of them that we can easily help with is in the realm of childcare. The people who can get back to work if they have the ability and can to afford childcare, and that's just a huge issue right now. And I've had a number of meetings and forums on that issue with business and with community groups and chambers of commerce and the public entity as well.
You know, we've talked to Sean Fedaplace from Main Street Alliance, which has really turned out to be essentially the alternative to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, especially for small hometown businesses. And they're really capturing that frustration of small business owners, and you were one yourself for many years. Small business owners are often thought of as leaning Republican, but as you just said, a lot of them have real issues that they're frustrated the legislature and Republicans in Congress are not embracing.
Boy, is that true. It is still frustrating, though. There are a number who are just raised on the idea that if you're a small business, you're supposed to be a Republican. But you look at the members of the WMC, for instance. Who are they serving? They're serving the very largest corporations in the state and raking in the membership fees from small companies, but they're not serving them. And it's just, I guess it's we can't tell people that. They have to experience it themselves and find out who's really there for them. I don't know what else to say about that other than, you know, because you know what it is. The more we tell them, the more they want to argue and fight or dig their heels in.
Although, as we've certainly seen with women's reproductive rights, we've seen people essentially say, well, this doesn't mean I'm voting Democratic, but I'm definitely, you know, soured on what Republicans these days are doing. Can you stick around for a couple minutes more? I know you got to run away.
Sure.
Yep. All right. Jeff Smith will rejoin us on the other side of this break. You're up north. You know, whether you're listening on the radio or later via podcast, we want you to know there's another way to catch us live weekdays from 8 to 11. Go to tunein.com or download the TuneIn app and look for WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, our flagship station in Wausau. You can use our smart speakers like Alexa to play WXCO on TuneIn as well. And to reach our show, the email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. State Senator Jeff Smith from the Eau Claire area joins us now. We talked to Jessica Katzenmeyer, who's running in the 5th Senate District. And we're talking next hour to Kelly Westland, who's running up north. That's the 25th Senate District, I believe. For those folks who aren't legislative election nerds, which would be me, Jeff, and about seven other people. The entire state assembly is up every 2 years because it's two-year terms. The state Senate is a four-year term, so roughly half the seats are up each time around. And this time around, it's the odd-numbered districts. And so there are districts like 5 and 25. And you said there's an open race in 19, which was the Roger Roth seat, if I'm not mistaken. And we talked to Francesca Hong on Friday, Jeff, that you know the importance of people in safe Democratic seats, and there aren't many of them, but the importance of them working and really providing a sense of statewide teamwork. Do you get a sense that that is running better than it was, you know, what, 15 plus years ago when you and I first started doing this?
It almost has to because we're clinging by our fingernails. We are one seat away in the state Senate from the Republicans having veto override power anytime they want. They're five seats away in the state assembly from that same disastrous result. So and Francesca Hong, you know, you can't give her enough credit. She's sure she is somewhat of a newcomer to politics, but she gets it. And she's out there finding ways to raise money and bring awareness to the seats that need to be protected in her caucus. And the same thing happens in our caucus to some degree. So I have colleagues who are trying to help me and help Kelly, for instance, to hang on to these two seats that mine and then the 25th that Janet Buley is retiring from. And it's really important. And of course, the Republicans think these are seats that they can take because they're rural districts and toss up districts. And it puts us in a hot seat, but as a place I'm not unaccustomed to.
No, see, and that's the thing is that you are stellar throughout the year when it comes to, you know, recruiting candidates and providing support to people locally and even beyond. Now, of course, you have your own very competitive district that you have to focus on, but it has to make you feel pretty good that in a lot of your neighboring districts, I mean, last week we talked to four different women running in districts, you know, in and just beyond your Senate district. And all are, you know, motivated, skilled, or experienced to some degree. So that has to bring you a little peace of mind that you're not spending a lot of time going, where are all the candidates at?
We are. I am so excited about those candidates. To be honest, Pat, we have to be saved by the women in this world. And we have some amazing leaders in the women that are running. Sadly, gerrymandering doesn't tend to favor the most qualified and smartest and best characters out there, the best of character. But, do what you have to do. And hopefully, if they aren't successful this year, hope they come back in 2 years. Because that's, you know, that was my recipe for success. Learn the first time around and come back and make it happen.
Let me ask you about having not one, but two marquee races on the ballot in both governor and U.S. Senate. And in your case, a third marquee race, the very competitive race for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. One would assume that that only helps that you get more voter turnout, and higher voter turnout historically tends to favor Democrats. But again, that depends on the district. But here's what I wonder about, and I haven't looked at the numbers recently. Down ballot voters, people who will only vote for president and then just leave the booth, or this year they just vote in the Senate and the governor's race and they leave the booth because they don't know the people running for legislature, attorney general, and such. Is that a real concern in a district like yours as well? And you know, what can you do about that other than, you know, try to knock on five more doors every day?
It's always a great concern. I've always had always felt like I need to get out there early, because once people are casting that early votes, sometimes you come to the door and they say, oh, I wish I had met you before I sent my ballot in. You know, so that's always hard to hear. But it is always a concern, Pat. We need to encourage people to be sure that they go all the way down the ballot and get to know their candidates. Of course, the Republicans have done everything they can, you know, eliminating ballot boxes to drop off ballots, to getting a ballot early and absentee voting. They make it more and more difficult because they want people to show up on that election day within those limited hours and look at a ballot and not recognize names and skip them. That's how the legislature, Republicans really thrive on the legislature, is the lack of knowledge. I've always said, Pat, this is going to sound, I know what this is going to sound like, but I don't care. Why do we do better, for instance, in cities where there's more information out there? Because there's more information out there. And Republicans do better in rural areas because there's less information available to them. Hopefully, the idea of fiber finally getting to a lot of households, and we're adding onto that all the time. And only because Governor Evers and people like myself have made it happen over the last couple of years, while Walker and others were dragging their feet. They didn't want people to be informed. That's my opinion, and I stick by it.
It certainly is why we created Up North News as well, as more places were saw their newspapers either getting smaller, they weren't covering as much, you know, they were folding for good, and there just needs to be more information than the, you know, than just right-wing talk radio, which is where, you know, sadly they're getting too much of their information, which is what I'm going to end on in the minute we have left here. You are in that contentious 3rd Congressional District. And what are the stakes like with having Derek Van Orden on the ballot versus Brad Paff?
Well, here's the thing. This guy is dangerous. We've known that for a couple of years. He's extremely dangerous, attacking libraries, attacking women, physically, literally. Right. So this guy is dangerous. Turns out the guy running against me is a partner in crime. They were both together at January 6th on the Capitol communicating with each other, and is the same mindset. So we can tie these two together. We're basically going to be running campaigns that are similar. And I think that's going to help both of us. And we really need to hang on to that congressional seat. We cannot have somebody as dangerous as Van Orden there. We can't have somebody as dangerous as Estenson in our state capitol either.
In fact, we've got a video clip that Mark Pocan put up from Estenson talking about Van Orden being on the Capitol grounds that we're going to play a little bit later on. But Jeff, it's so good to see you again. Can't wait to do it in person over lunch sometime. But enjoy the campaigning. Best of luck to you, and talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Take it easy, my friend. We will take a break. Kelly Westland, state Senate candidate from up north, will join us next here on Up North News.